Clearing kick again by Richmond. There it is. What a win by the Tigers it is. They beat Port Adelaide by 33 points. Back-to-back wins for Richmond. Final scores here. 11-10-76. Port Adelaide 5-13-43.
Come over to enemy territory, somewhere where we haven't. Obviously, this season ended pretty abruptly last year, mate. Great win for the footy club and our fans.
Yeah, it was a great win for the Tigers on the weekend against Port Adelaide, backing up their victory against Collingwood the week before. So two in a row for Richmond, and is their season back on track? Let's find out as we catch up with the midfield coach, the Richmond assistant coach, Brendan Lay, joins us. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Hey, Shebex, how you going?
Mate, I'm okay. Is the season back on track? It looked like it was starting to derail there a little bit. A couple of important losses for games that should have been won, I suppose, for the Tigers in those first six rounds. But two good wins against Collingwood and Port Adelaide. How do you guys see it?
Yeah, we think we've been playing some pretty good footy through the whole year, and we've just had some lapses in games. And the last 2 weeks, our lapses haven't been as big, and we've been able to get away with, not conceding too many goals when we have those lapses. And, we played probably pretty consistent for four quarters. So it was good to get two results over, Collingwood and Port Adelaide, two tough teams.
There seemed to be a pretty serious lapse, actually, against Port Adelaide in that third quarter. They had more inside 50s and stats were really stacking up against them. But you must have been extremely proud with the pressure that the defence had to hold off in that third quarter to actually keep the Tigers in front.
Yeah, the defenders were amazing in that third quarter. They absorbed a lot of pressure, coming into their 50, and the mids got back and helped out as well, and we just couldn't get the ball forward there for a period. And as I said before, though, we limited the damage on the scoreboard, which is what momentum's about. If you can do that, and then when it's your turn to have a go at it, you can take advantage of it. Mate, all goes well for hopefully getting a better result than we had done.
No doubt. And I think Mark Robinson said it well a couple of weeks ago when Brett Deledio came back into the team, that you don't actually realise how much a team misses a player until they start losing. And you think, gee whiz, they missed him. And I think Richmond were very much like that, with Lids out of the side for a few weeks. You were looking at some of those games thinking, gee whiz, they're missing Brett Deledio. Great to have him back.
Oh, it's always good to have one of our best players playing. He missed 4 weeks there at the start of the year, and really, really hurt us as a club. And it had been functioning really well, that forward line with him in it, and to have him not there all of a sudden, and to miss Edwards for a week as well in that forward line, it sort of didn't give us too many targets on the ground to go to. So to have those two back in the side does help us a lot, and they're both really good players for us.
A couple of young boys have stood up as well over the last couple of weeks, including Connor Menadue. He looks like he's going to be okay.
Yeah, little Connor's, pick 33, I think he was this year. So he's, he came into the squad at the start of November, and we probably didn't think he was going to play too many games, but he's got all the physical attributes needed to be a good player in the AFL. He can run really well. He's got genuine speed. Uses the ball really well. So, he's been subbed a couple of times, and to come on when Vickery got hurt on the weekend, and to play three quarters of football and to put some real good miles in his GPS, and then to get a really important goal for us in the last quarter was amazing for him.
And very much a confidence player is Jack Revolt. He's had a couple of terrific games against Collingwood, especially the game that he had last week against Port Adelaide, getting the 10 votes in the Coaches Association Player of the Year award ahead of Dustin Martin on 8, Brendan Ellis on 5. Jack's confidence must be sky high at the moment.
He's been playing a real team role for us this year, and he's getting his probably 4 to 6 shots a goal every week, and we need some other forwards to step up around him, and Griffiths is starting to, and Vickery was as well. This week I'm not sure who'll play for Vickery, but Jack's been in some really good form. He knows his role now and knows it really well. He can play up the field because he's a lot fitter than he ever has been. Can also play close to the goal. So Jack's a real weapon for us, both inside the 50 and outside the forward 50. So we'll keep promoting him in that role, and hopefully keep having 4 to 6 shots a goal and kicking 4 or 5.
And is that a week-on-week proposition in regards to where Jack does his business? If it looks like you can, identify a weakness in the defence somewhere by keeping Jack at home, will that be the role he plays more so than up the ground?
Yeah, I think so. Depends on his matchup a little bit as well. What's needed for our team. But gone are the days where you're going to see Jack sitting in the goal square for 4 quarters of a game, and I think some supporters need to probably get their heads around that a little bit. But for him to be able to play up the ground more and to get involved more, through our centre forward area and get the ball inside 50. He's really smart when he gets the ball, so it'll be a week-to-week proposition for him, but at the moment he's doing it really, really well.
How is it that guys later in their career, Brendan, actually find the form and the endurance to actually be able to run that tall midfield role that you see someone like Jack do recently? We see guys like Nick Riewoldt do and the like. You know, for a while there, they are sort of that stay-at-home forward through the early part of their career. Then all of a sudden, as they get a bit older, they find this new lease of life. We even saw it with Richo, didn't we, in the last year?
Yeah, Richo, you're definitely right. I don't know, it's a bit of a funny one, but as the your key forwards get older, you like to try and promote other key forwards to come along and to start helping out in the forward line. So we're no different to any other team. I know when Richo was playing wing at Richmond, they had Jack was a young fella just coming into the side. I think they had Jay Schultz as well. So they were trying to develop that other forward line, another target. So and St Kilda are doing the same at the moment. So it's going to keep evolving with the game, and if it means that people play up the ground because they're fit enough to, well, if it gives other people an opportunity to play well, we'll be doing it, that's for sure.
And as the midfield coach, you must rub your hands with glee when you're told that that's the role he's going to play. He's going to play up the ground. Just to have a bloke with sort of his experience and even his physical presence through the midfield must be a massive advantage for the rest of the guys there.
Yeah, it's good. He keeps telling me he should be in the centre bounce more, so I'm trying to keep him out of there as much as I can, but look, he can do a lot of things, Jack, and we look forward to him rotating through the midfield with Edwards and Deledio and Corey Ellison, manager, for the rest of the year.
Brendan, you mentioned Ty Vickery before. It would seem like he's got out of it pretty well, actually. Looking at it, it could have been a long-term injury, but would I be right in saying he might only be 4 to 6 weeks?
I think Ty might even be shorter than that.
Okay.
He got extremely lucky. You saw him yesterday, and he's pretty confident he could be back after the bye. So,
that's great.
That's really good news for Ty. And, he kicked 3 goals against Collingwood and, was playing a role for us in the Port Adelaide game as well. So we definitely looked better when we had Ty, Griffo and Jack up there for a period. So for us, it's to make sure those three can keep working together and, getting Ty back as quick as we can.
Brendan, it would be remiss of me to have a coach on the line and not talk to him about the events of the last 24 hours over at Carlton. Always tough, I would assume, for the coaching group and also the players as well when the events of what we've seen in the last 24 hours take place?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's not something you wish upon any club, any coaching group, any playing group. It's disappointing that it's turned out like this, but we know that can happen in football. And with football, especially when it happens early in the year, there's always next week. So I'm sure Carlton will be coming out and looking forward to playing Sydney this week and showing that they can be competitive again. And, they look forward to probably improving over the second part of the season, that's for sure.
As an assistant coach, Brendan, is it something, I'm sure it's not something you think of on a daily basis, if you think of it at all, but the fact that your hands are sort of tied by the results of the senior coach and the way the senior coach goes about his business. Normally when a senior coach is left, then everyone else around him also goes at pretty much the same time. Is that the way you take it? You're just all part of a team and what will be, will be?
Yeah, we as a group of coaches and assistant coaches, we all know that it's a team effort, and we understand, though, that the media like to have their scapegoat, and it's normally the senior coach in a lot of teams, and that's fair enough. But you live and die by what you do as a group, and you take your successes and you take your failures. But hopefully, you have more successes along the way, and hopefully, as an organisation, as an AFL, we can get better without not sacking people halfway through contracts. But we understand it does happen, but hopefully, we can get stronger as an organisation and not let that happen as much.
And, mate, a final one for you. Tigers always love to play on the big stage, and for a season, there's not too many bigger ones than this one for Richmond. The Dreamtime, the G game, it'll be full focus on the Tigers and the Bombers. What does it mean to the players to be involved in this game?
Yeah, it's a pretty important game. We had two Indigenous leaders speak to us yesterday at the club, which was great. We talked about the Guernsey and what it means and where it's come from, and Shane Edwards done a little piece on where ours has come from and how it was designed. So I think that's on our website for everyone to have a look at. But yeah, it's a really great honour. I've played with some great Indigenous players over the journey, and we've got a couple of in our side at the moment. So we look forward to them playing well and respecting and honouring them as much as we can with a win this week.
Really appreciate your time, mate. Good luck to the Tigers against the Bombers.
Thanks, Rebex. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, mate. Brendan Lay joining us, Richmond assistant coach. And let me take you through the leaderboards at the end of round eight for 2015 in the AFL Coaches Association. Champion Player of the Year, Nat Fyfe from Fremantle with 68. Leads from Daniel Hannabury from Sydney, 46. Dylan Shield, GWS, 42. Scott Pendlebury, Collingwood, 40. And then Matty Prittis from the West Coast Eagles on 37. That is your top five on the AFL Coaches Association Champion Player of the Year leaderboard.